Is the COVID-19 virus a chastisement from God? Hello friends, I want to thank you for watching, and I'm hesitant to do this video because of the language with it, chastisement and COVID virus, but I know that many of you who watch my videos are watching other videos and watching and reading things online, and you're having these questions, is this a chastisement from God? So the first thing I want to say is this. If we're looking at chastisements and referring them back to previous prophecies of saints or Marian apparitions and asking ourselves, is this a fulfillment of things that have been said in the past? I just want to say, I have no idea. And I don't want to touch that because I don't know. What I do want to focus on is this present moment. How are we supposed to respond to God? And what is God saying in all this? So in terms of chastisement, that we get kind of uncomfortable when we use that language, don't we? Chastisement and a punishment from God. But we have to be honest. This is within the language traditionally of the church. And so just to throw this language aside and say, oh, this doesn't apply or it's outdated. No. We have to understand that this language is still relevant. But what do we mean by chastisements or punishments from God? How does God work that out? Well, first of all, we have to understand who God is. And in 1 John 4:8, God has revealed himself to be love. God is love. And when you love somebody, what do you desire for them? Well, obviously, if you love somebody, you want the best for them. You don't want second best. You don't want third best. If you love somebody, you want to give them the best. I love my kids, and I want the best for them. If it's within my power to give them something and it's for their good, I work for that. Now, God, who loves us more perfectly than the most perfect Father on earth, wants to give us the best. Now, here's the question. What is the best that God, our Father, desires to give each one of us? Is it temporal prosperity? Is it physical health? Is it good relationships? Is it so that our businesses thrive? No, what is the best? And some of these things that I mentioned, they may be good, but God has something better than every earthly treasure. He has heaven in store for us. Now, that's the best that God could give. So with that in mind, that has to be the lens by which we look at what's happening with the COVID-19 virus. Why does God allow anything? Now, I'm not suggesting it in any way that God is causing people to suffer. He doesn't want people to suffer, no. But in his permissible will, he allows things to happen. And we have to understand, if God allows things to happen, it is always allowed in order that good can come out of it. And the word is can come out of it. It depends not upon God, but our response to the circumstance that God has allowed. A couple years ago, Janelle left the house, and she left me at that time with the three kids. And so I think our oldest was 4. Then we had a kind of 2.5-year-old and a baby that was just born. And our oldest, Madeleine, was working at on the counter coloring. The youngest baby was, you know, sleeping. And I was supposed to look after the kids, including the middle, our son, Jacob. So I thought, I got this. I'll look after the kids, no problem. So she left the house. I went downstairs to work. And it just got really quiet all of a sudden. And when it gets quiet, you know there's a problem. So I went upstairs and I'm looking around. Baby's still sleeping. Our daughter is coloring at the table. And I said to her, where's Jacob? She's like, I don't know. So I go upstairs and I look in the bedroom. I go into their bedrooms. I can't find Jacob. I go into the basement. I can't find Jacob. I come up to the stairs. I'm yelling his name. I can't find him anywhere. And then I just had this feeling something was wrong. And that he wasn't in the house. And I don't know why I felt that, but I just felt like his little kid, 2.5 years old, he's not in the house. And I didn't even hesitate. I ran out that front door in my socks, out into the streets, and I looked right, and there's nothing. I look left, and 8 houses down, there's Jacob. And his little feet are running as fast as he can away from the house. I just took off down that sidewalk. I caught up to him. And as I was getting closer, he heard me come and he looked over his shoulder and he ran even faster away from me. And I reached down and I grabbed him. 20 seconds later, he would have been around the corner out onto a very busy street. 20 seconds, that's it. And I reach down and I grab them, and I'm holding him. He's totally oblivious to the danger that he was running towards. Totally oblivious. Let me ask you a question. When I picked him up, was I restricting him and taking away his freedom? Or was did that action harm him? Or was it for his good? Of course, it was for his good. I saved him, perhaps from a terrible accident around the corner. It was for his good. And perhaps we can look at the situation that we find ourselves in, where our movements and the privileges that we once experienced are being restricted. Why? Is it that God has left us? No. I think his arms are around us. And he's picked us up. And perhaps he is just pulling us deeper within his heart and saying, let me love you. For example, the privilege of receiving the Eucharist has been restricted. What might be God saying in that? You might think, why would God allow something like that? Well, consider this. As a father, if I came to my children with this incredible gift, this gift I valued so much, I even spent a ton of money on this gift, and I go and I give it to them, and I'm looking forward to them enjoying this gift, and I give it to them, and what do? They trash it. They throw it around the room. They treat it as a toy. You know, perhaps I might not give them another gift of that value again. And could it be that the Lord is just withholding the gift of himself because we've treated the Eucharist in an irreverent and unfaithful way? We might be thinking, well, how have we done that? Well, consider this. How many times have we gone to the Eucharist, which is the ultimate gift? It's the source and summit of our faith. It's Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so this is the best that God can give us. And how many times have we gone to Mass and received our Lord in the Eucharist, maybe when we are in the state of mortal sin, which is a great sacrilege, a sin. And it destroys us when we do that. It does not help us, it harms us. Or maybe we haven't done that. Maybe we've gone forward to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, not in the state of mortal sin, but maybe just we're just reckless. We go forward to receive him because we're the next one in line. We've done nothing to prepare our hearts to receive grace in the Eucharist. We haven't given any attention during the homily. Our mind was somewhere else during the readings. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves coming forward because we're the next one in line. And we approach Jesus so casually. You see, my friends, if we approach Jesus casually, we will end up a casualty. We should not approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords simply because we're the next in line. It's an offense to him, but also it harms our faith as well. Or perhaps I'm thinking maybe if I was a priest, I would be asking myself, how often have I rushed through the liturgy and not given time and attention to every single word that I'm saying during the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Or how many times have I given a homily that served the popular opinion but did nothing to benefit the people's souls? Or if I was a bishop, I would be asking myself maybe the question, have I allowed liturgical abuses to go on within my diocese, priests doing kind of crazy things and just kind of letting them run with it, maybe because I inherited the problem and now this is what's kind of the norm in my diocese. And this is what they do. See, what we're talking about is the body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord. And could it be that Jesus has given himself in the Eucharist and he said, okay, they've had enough for a little bit. And he's withdrawn his sacramental presence from us. For what purpose? So that we turn our hearts back to him in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, that we no longer take this sacrament as though it is our right to receive it, but a gift to be embraced. One thing we can't do is be hoping to go back to business as usual, because business as usual within the Catholic Church hasn't been very good. We have declining vocations. People are losing their faith. They're losing their faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We can't go back to to business as usual. And if we're sitting back and we're just hoping for that, then we are missing this graced moment, because it is a graced moment. Is this a chastisement? Well, if you want to call it a chastisement, go for it. You know, call it a chastisement. Call that. But I think this chastisement has the arms of our Heavenly Father around us. And He's picked us up and lifted us up. Why? So that we would not destroy ourselves. That we would not destroy supernatural faith. And He's giving us an opportunity to renew our faith in Him and in Jesus Christ in the real presence in the Eucharist. What should we do with this time? We have to stop running from Christ, and we have to run to Him. We have to stop fighting Him and start searching for Him. We have to start resisting and start repenting. For all those times, perhaps, that we've approached the Eucharist in such a casual way. And I believe if we take this opportunity to do that, we will rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father. And we will see this time as a great act of mercy in our lives. My name is Ken Yuzinski from CatholicSpeaker.com. Thank you for watching.